Morning, everyone. Thursday, April the 21st. Bit of a mixed session overnight. Tom, what's the wrap for us and what have we got on today?
Thank you, Ben. Well, look, I'll start off with our market first. We're off to a pretty strong start, up 20 points, and that is bringing us very close to our all-time high. We do have industrials and energy names leading our market higher, tech and miners slipping a bit. We did have a mixed session in the US, earnings in focus, bit of an outsized attention on Netflix. They were down more than 35% on the back of falling subscribers. And we also saw some numbers from Tesla. They are higher after hours. So some well-received numbers there. The Dow up 0.7%, S&P 500 and the NASDAQ both a bit weaker. We did see some housing data in the US reveal that, that there's some headwinds there, and that is coming on the back of higher mortgage rates. On the commodities front, oil and iron ore both a little bit higher, gold down a touch. And to the corporate space, BHP has production numbers out. They're down a touch and they follow Rio's slightly disappointing production numbers yesterday as well. So they lowered copper and nickel guidance. They kept iron ore guidance unchanged. That is, BHP kept those iron ore numbers unchanged. Challenger and Brambles comfortably higher on the back of guidance updates. Australian Ethical is one of the worst performers, falling on a FUM update. Nothing exciting really on the economic front. And we do have more Fed speak in the US tonight. Jerome Powell is making an address, although there was a bit of commentary at the start of the week that said they're not expecting, or the market isn't expecting, anything sensitive from his address.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. It might be worth noting as well on that Netflix that they opened down the 25% that we were kind of expecting in the post hours trade yesterday, and then it closed down 35% in total, so an extra 10% on top of that. Fairly savage.
Pretty ugly numbers from Netflix, and it does put a bit of a focus on the other streaming services as well.
Yeah, certainly no shortage of them at the moment, which does bring into question the pricing power that they have. Will they be able to just hold on to subscribers no matter what the price? But we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So thank you for that, Tom. Layton, what have you got for us from the brokers today?
Thanks, Ben. Just got a couple to go through here. There's plenty of broker commentary coming through with all of the production updates, but I'll just touch on a couple. I've got Rio Tinto. The March quarter results missed consensus, but the brokers are pretty mixed on that one. Credit Suisse and Morgan Stanley both finding some positives in the release, and they've both lifted their target prices and retained outperform recommendations. Morgan's and UBS are both neutral with target prices just under the current share price, though. And the average target price there is $123.36, which is 4% above the current share price. So basically in line. And Whitehaven Coal. The brokers maintain a positive outlook for Whitehaven with results only just missing consensus. And that's despite COVID, a tight labor market, and wet weather impacting on production. And Whitehaven retained its fourth quarter guidance, which requires a production pickup. But Morgan Stanley notes the required production is achievable based on fourth quarter production over the last 3 years. And Credit Suisse has lifted its target price 19% with an outperform recommendation. Morgan Stanley is overweight and Morgan's says add. And the average target price there is $5.52, implying a 15% upside.
I just say on stocks like Whitehaven Coal, brokers can say what they like, as they can with most resources stocks that are driven by one commodity price, as Whitehaven Coal is. But the correlation between Whitehaven Coal and the coal price is extremely tight. And it really doesn't matter what a broker's forecast or target price is, because it's going to move on a daily basis with the coal price. So you really need to watch what's happening in the coal market. And you might have seen overnight that the Chinese are declaring an effort to get coal prices lower. So Morgans can say what they like about the target price being $5.52, but the price is going to respond to whatever the coal price is too. So the research is a bit pointless on resources.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Layton. And Marcus, what do you have for us today?
Well, I'm in a bit of a rush today, I've got to say. I've got a long phone call to do this morning, but noting a couple of things in the strategy section today. One is that the difference between the 10-year bond yield in Australia and the official cash rate is now 2.95%. In other words, our market has our interest rates, and there's a chart in the strategy piece. Our interest rates have ripped up as they have globally, and our official rates are still on hold. The RBA is dropping massively behind the curve. By the time they come to raise rates, if they do in July, which was the thinking, by the time they do that, the Fed will have raised rates by 1.25%. It is quite obvious here that rates are going up and the RBA is behind the curve. And I've sort of written a piece about what will you imagine what the water cooler conversation is at the RBA now. It'll be Philip Lowe getting himself a quiet cup of water with Fed governors, or not Fed governors, RBA governors coming and saying, do we have to keep rates on hold until after the election? And he's probably saying something to the effect of, well, let's see what that inflation number does next week. There's an inflation number next week. It's likely to be 3.2%, which is above the target band for the first time since 2010. He's probably saying, well, let's have a look at the inflation number next week and see what happens then. But if that's a high number, they can obviously ignore it and say it's transitory and temporary and continue to stay on hold until July, which is probably what they will do. But they could just use next week's inflation number as the excuse to do something pre-election, because otherwise they're going to be very behind the curve by the time July comes around. So that's sort of what I've looked at today. And also the property market, as Tom mentioned, home sales activity in the US overnight has dropped 2.7%. They have record house prices at the moment, and they have, can you believe it, the highest all cash purchases in the housing market that they've had in 8 years. And the average time on the market for a residential property in the US at the moment is 17 days. And if you look at the activity on the, there's a chart in the strategy piece on the home sales front. If you look at the activity, they've done exactly, or we've done exactly what they've done. They've had a post-COVID pop in property market prices and activity, and that is now coming off the top. And with their mortgage rates, their 30-year bond yield is now over 5%. And mortgage rates here are rising unofficially if you go to the bank and try and borrow some money at the moment. And it is quite clear that the froth is going to blow off the property market. I don't think you have to worry about a collapse. But if I was an estate agent, I'd be thinking, yeah, let's just try and get that house on the market before the RBA meeting on May the 3rd or whatever it is, or at least before the June meeting. That's certainly before the July meeting, because we seem to be at peak property at the moment, with rates just about to start ripping up. So I think that's a fair point to make, people. Other things I'm looking at is, yesterday Tom added Computershare and QBE to the ideas section. I also wrote in there that maybe we should also look at Challenger. Which is no one's interested in buying annuities when the yield's nothing. So when interest rates creep up, suddenly annuities become more interesting. And Challenger's business is known to have suffered badly from low interest rates. So higher rates is good. And it's got a
guidance upgrade today. Should have pulled the trigger.
Bloody thing has popped 6% today. Anyway, chart still looks okay. There's still a bit of a yield there as well, so it might be worth a look. The other one, I'm not going to have time to do it all today, but the other one I was having a look at was Sonic Healthcare in light of the Ramsay Healthcare bid yesterday. And the numbers are pretty good. They have a 4.5% yield, PE under 12 times, return on equity of 20 times. They've seen a bit of a COVID boom, and its earnings are expected to drop off now, but that's in the price already. The average broker target price is they're all above the current share price. Chart looks reasonably okay, so I might just add Sonic Healthcare to the ideas portfolio at the moment. Other things are, don't forget, we're coming into the bank's results season, and Bank of Queensland goes ex-dividend on May the 4th, quite a big dividend. And then we've got Macquarie, ANZ, Westpac, and the NAB results and dividends coming up. So this is the time to be holding banks if you are. And that's about all from me.
Great. Thank you, Marcus. A lot of good stuff as always. And question of the day today, back on the Netflix topic, do you have a subscription to Netflix or similar? And will you keep it if they raise prices or get rid of the family packages? So it is one subscription per person. Layden?
I do have a couple. I think I've got Disney and Binge, but I'm pretty lucky. So my brother has a couple, and then Marcus, you love this one. My parents also pay for a couple of them, and thankfully that one's Netflix, which keeps just bumping up the price, so I don't have to worry about those price increases.
And they're still paying your... Are you still living at home, by the way?
No, I wish.
You've moved out. Yeah. God, do they pay your rent?
Oh, unfortunately, no.
No, they're paying your car insurance, your rego, and they're paying your mobile phone bill?
Yes.
Oh, good God, man. You need to cut those apron strings soon.
Anyway. But, yeah, if the prices go up, I think I might have to give a couple of them the flick. Can't really afford to be paying for that stuff, so, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Netflix. Netflix.
All right, thanks, Layden the Moocher. Tom?
Well, I pay for my Netflix, unlike Layden. And, you know, this is really poor observation for me, but I didn't realize how much the prices went up. It was only when we recently talked about it. I was like, oh, did they actually move that much? So I didn't realize I was paying that much per month. Yeah, if they keep going up, I think I'll look to maybe another streaming service. I feel like I go on Netflix every night and or most nights and scroll and then go to bed. I don't actually pull the trigger on anything. So it's a lot of money just for too many options to pick to make a decision.
Very good, Marcus.
Well, I am paying for my kids to have Stan, Amazon Prime, Disney, Netflix, Foxtel, ridiculous cost of Foxtel, still tied in with my Telstra internet, Apple, Binge, KO, you name it, I have got them all. And I even had my daughter give all her passwords in a list to a few of her friends, including an ex-boyfriend. So we had to go through and change all the passwords. Oh. And that wasn't because they were disturbing our service. It was just because we didn't want them to have it. Not that old boyfriend. He's gone. Anyway, so yes, we're paying excessively, but you're right. Too many options scrolling. And I think we've got Stan Sport for Rugby Union, which I watch. And that's something ridiculous, like $25 a month. So yes, at some point you need to purge. If one of them like Netflix gives us the runaround, so suddenly Charlotte can't watch it upstairs and Olivia can't watch it in Canberra, yeah, we're gonna get rid of those.
Mm. And Ben, what about you?
Yeah, I'm similar boat. I've got access to pretty much all of them, and the payment's not necessarily coming out of my pocket for all of them. A bit of sharing going on. I pay for a couple, and there is no way in hell that if I had to pay for a subscription to every single one of them, then that I would be keeping them. I refuse to get Foxtel because it's too expensive, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper than 10 different subscription services. So if they all decided to crack down, I think we'd be left with maybe KO and Disney or something like that. Mm. Definitely in danger.
Tom, criticizing Layden for people paying, do you pay your own phone bill?
Of course.
No, you don't.
I'll show you the receipts. I pay my own phone bill. I was kicked out at 23.
Oh, I reckon you picked that age. Well, you had a good look at me and had a good think about it.
And I've been financing my life for a long time.
Marcus, but Tom does take his washing down to his mum in Torquay every Sunday.
I hear she comes up and gets it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Enough.
Good. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you all tomorrow.